I suppose now is as good a time to check as any that we all watch the same film.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Burrowers from 2008.
Yeah.
2008's The Burrowers.
Oh, not the 1973 version that's on YouTube.
What?
No, I watched the 1997 one, I'm afraid.
I watched Mousetrap.
Yeah, same diff.
Yeah, I feel like I did mistake them in my head anyway.
Yeah, Jim came in at one point and was just like, is that Lee Evans?
Who did he think was Lee Evans?
I'm guessing
Mark Williams. Yeah. Just it was he before you saw his face.
Okay. Accidentally did Mousetrap again.
Hello and welcome to Hey, I Loved That Movie, the podcast where we rewatch the films we loved when we were younger to see if they still hold up. I'm Dan.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Helena.
And for this episode, we watched The Borrowers. Had either of you seen this film before? Because this is one that I'd have watched this a lot as a kid. I don't think I had it on, like, VHS or anything. But it was just always on.
Yeah.
And I've caught it on TV a few times since. Like, I've not sat down and watched it in years, but, like...
Just to remind you, in case you forgot, in case other people had forgot.
Yeah, because, you know, we did spend the last couple of weeks watching Pitch Perfect. Movies we knew were good. And then I was like, I'm surprised that we've not done this, because this is genuinely one where I'm like, as a kid, I watched this a lot, and now I'm like, well, yeah, is it any good?
Yeah, I remember watching this film before I was like, aware, you know, when you were really, really young and you'd watch stuff and it wouldn't go in.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
and like you'd just kind of look at a screen.
I think Helena still does that sometimes for this show.
Hey,
I think we all still do it. Let's be fair, Dan. we all still do that.
I definitely feel the same way about this film. Like the more I got through it, the more I remembered.
Yeah.
But in a horrible kind of a deja vu-y kind of, I can't quite believe that I've already seen this.
Yeah, like you have vague memories of like single shots where you're like, I remember this.
Because I didn't remember what it was about. I remember the premise of there being small people that borrow things.
Yeah.
And I was very confused because I was sure it was British. And then at the start, it's very American, and I was just like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I must have been thinking about something. I was thinking, oh, maybe I'm thinking of the 1973 version that's on YouTube.
It's British-American.
But yeah, it is Br-American.
Br-American.
And that was very jarring. And weird.
It's one of those films where it doesn't exist in any time, and it is in no place ever.
Mm. No.
Like, it's in the same like the TV show Sex Education. It doesn't exist in a time or a place. It just kind of exists in this weird English-speaking country.
Yeah, except borrowers are British and human beings are American?
Except for
Hugh Grant and
Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie.
Fastest time British. Mixing up the Hughes.
As a police officer.
Yeah.
And Mark Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Okay, maybe that theory doesn't hold up. But it is really weird because they don't... With Sex Education, it's more like they just don't do a great deal of like revealing stuff. So like you don't... But with this, there's like wide establishing shots of like... red brick like towers, like tower blocks and apartments, and very British streets with little, you know, council housing kind of neat rows, and then like the sky, like the city skyline in the back's all red brick as well.
Yeah,
but the house they live in feels kind of American.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's a big, like, American, a big fridge.
slightly
like a detached house with like slight gaps in the walls and stuff so that the borrowers can conveniently live in there.
Yeah, because this wouldn't happen in like a normal British house.
No.
Yeah, in a normal British. Well, one, cavity insulation.
Yeah.
Two, they'd actual freeze to rats death. That would scare the shit out of the borrowers.
Yeah, the closest borrowers. You'd get to this is like when a seagull accidentally gets trapped down the chimney that you've blocked off. Like...
Oh man, we used to have pigeons fall down the chimney and it was disgusting because they'd die on the way down.
Oh.
I suppose it's better than them coming out alive.
Yeah, that's true.
I get for me, not for the pigeon.
But they'd either, like, if we had borrowers in this country, they'd either, like, freeze to death or drown before anything happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. Horror scenes of, like, their little floorboards.
But yeah, so this is, like, Bri-American, as you put it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's kind of out of time and space.
Yeah, it's a bit. Well, it's quite 80s.
But also part. Very 90s. But has bits that feel like the moments that are like 50s y.
Yeah, you think you say that actually. His TV that he has is very old school.
Yeah. And there's like bits in the background. Like there's a point, I remember when they're driving through the city and there's someone on a block in the middle of the road directing traffic.
Mm. Yeah.
Like that's very like 50s, 60s y.
Don't they still do that in America?
I mean here, but like, do they do that in America? I don't think they do.
I'm basing my knowledge of American policing is unfortunately almost entirely what NCIS and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
But on like a block in the middle of the road, I don't know, they might do. It just felt very like out of time here.
In one of the seasons, the main guy, Andrew, the captain gets like demoted and has to do that job for a bit.
Oh yeah, Captain Holt ends up doing that, doesn't he?
Holt, that's it. So obviously, it's still the thing. Yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine has no faults or discrepancies.
Yeah, no, she's a. But yeah, it's all weird.
Yeah,
it's way more in your face than like Sex Education is. It kind of reminds me of San Francisco in Big Hero 6.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But obviously, that's like San Francisco and Tokyo. So there's no British. there's no like added like red brick pigeons and everything.
But it does give it that really nice fantasy vibe.
Mm.
Like it does give it that like it's really clever actually. That
I didn't hate it. It was just quite jarring because I wasn't prepared for it.
Yeah, once you like settle into the world, you're kind of. I guess it's easier to suspend your disbelief because you're like, okay, this place is kind of a mix of a load of real places, but it's not real.
So I just took it as to get this movie funded, they had to appeal to both British and American children.
I mean, that's what it was technically, but on an artistic point of view, it does give it a sort of heightened fantasy feel.
It makes it feel a bit more like tiny people living in the walls could actually exist.
Yeah,
in
it could
this
be
universe.
Real. Because if this,
yeah,
was like
I thought it was a TV show. Was there a TV show?
Don't think so.
Maybe I'm not too sure.
This one, this film and its weird cast.
Yeah. So to try and get into the plot of it,
a British miniseries.
Yeah. So the main plot is you have. A family of three that live there, which are called the Lender family, which took me about half the film to go, oh yeah.
Yep.
And the kids just straight up have to play with like gunpowder and shit, and he's like always making weird things.
That's well, he's trying to 50s. Trap the borrowers because he's obsessed with shit going missing in the house, which is, you know, actually pretty reasonable.
That's exactly.
50s coded, where it's like, oh, the child is allowed to play with guns, essentially.
And the parents are like, there's no such thing as, you know, there's no reason things are going missing. It's just whatever. And the kid's like, nope, there is. And
to be fair, as an adult, I 100%. I wouldn't notice. Or like would just put it down to me forgetting. I could have borrowers living in the room with me. I wouldn't fucking notice.
I just blame the rats.
Yeah, like it's gone missing. Like I've probably
pet rats.
It somewhere.
I have pet rats.
Yeah.
I don't have actual, I don't have city rats in my flat. I hope
you got them country rats.
Not that you know.
I got them fancy rats.
You got them private school rats.
They would die in seconds if they met a real rat. Yeah.
If they met a burrower, though, they ride them like a horse.
Yeah.
But okay, so yeah, there are little people, teeny tiny people, living in this family's walls.
Yeah, they're called the Borrowers. The main one is Jim Broadbent, and he's called Pod Clock.
Yeah.
It's a weird name. His kids are Arietti, which is the older girl, and then baby Draco
Tom Felton.
Malfoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
Green.
Was a what the fuck moment for me.
His wife is... I've written it down, but I can't remember.
I can't remember her name. They're pretty cool, like, whimsical names.
Yeah, Celia Imrie.
That's what this film is. It's whimsical.
Mm.
It is, and it's got the timeless British cast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, this was the British cast of that era. We have a British cast of this era. This
but
was
well, he's
that,
doing it, so I'll do it, so they'll do it, so she'll do it.
Yeah.
So
and then you know. Yeah,
because we all know they all know each other in this.
Also,
country.
We reckon this Tom Felton guy's going somewhere. Less yeah. sure about Arietti.
Yeah,
she doesn't have a picture up on IMDb, so I'm assuming
this is the only film she ever did.
Yeah.
You know what? Not always a bad thing, as we've said before.
Yeah.
No, she was in one episode of Peep Show.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
And one episode of Holby City.
Huh. Hmm, it's very Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah. A
couple of the child actors.
Yeah, you win some, you lose some.
Hmm. Well, some actors just don't enjoy it as much as they thought they would.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not going to do it anymore. That's,
yeah, I like to think of her as someone who chose to go to other walks of life, not someone who failed as an actor.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. Having had a precursory glance over IMDb and related links, I don't know if I have seen this before. I think I might have seen the 1992 British miniseries.
Oh, fair enough.
They have the same names.
Yeah.
Right.
There's not enough photo and stills for me to actually know if I've seen this. But again, like that definitely came out on video, and The Borrowers starring Ian Holm and Penelope Wilton. So it's...
Oh, Bilbo Baggins.
Yeah, it's Bilbo Baggins. Like, yeah. It's... The Borrowers has been done, like, quite a lot.
I didn't realise that. I'm going to have to put a brackets year at the end of the title of this episode.
Yeah.
Oh my god, like he looks like Bilbo Baggins in it.
It's like a beloved book, so...
Yeah.
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 Speaking of looks, though, I fucking love the costume design and that in this. And, like, oh, the yes. general, like, the set design, every... It's got some surprisingly good little people effects in it as well. Yeah.
The VFX like, are yeah. fucking incredible. And considering, yeah. like, this wasn't... This was when VFX was bad.
Yeah, and, like...
This was when, like, body doubles was bad and yeah. all that
oh,
stuff.
Oh, yeah, we For lucked out with this one. This doesn't, like, this doesn't have the mousetrap animated mouse yeah. issue.
No. But it's, like... That scene where, because at the beginning when they're trying to get ice cream and the kid gets stuck in the freezer, and yeah. Podclock just kind of like jumps and runs across the whole kitchen. It's yeah. such a cool little scene such of like, clean... it's really well stitched together.
It's all really clean.
Yeah.
There's like, also parts that I really enjoyed where they've deliberately not shown the Borrowers or not shown, and like the will. The last will and testament yes. of their aunt, yeah. which obviously yeah. features quite heavily in the story. Potter, who I assume that must be a reference to Potter in It's a Wonderful Life, because
John will... Goodman in this, yeah,
John Goodman, who is fantastic in this.
He's really good.
Yeah. He's so deliciously hateable in this. Mm. Yeah, he's awful. But the last will and testament, he's got it out of a safe that yeah. had been boarded up, and then the Borrowers, the Arietti and P.
P-Green, yeah.
P-Green.
Okay. We'll only properly name one of our kids, that's fine.
The other one gets a tone.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. He's not a child, he's a Pantene color.
he's a shade of...
It's actually yeah. A UTI.
But he's staring at the wall as the will and testament just sort of walks itself along the mantelpiece.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, because yeah. essentially the Lender family, their nans died, and she had actually left the house to them in the will, but Potter is the lawyer,
there's
and
no
he's
proof?
Like, yeah, he's like, oh, it hasn't been left to you, I'm afraid. She's left it to him, and then he's going to make it into apartments.
Well, no, it's not that he's left it to the lawyer. It's like that she's not got a will. So yeah. without a will, and that's not how that works.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. it will go to the next heir. It doesn't just auto to your dodgy lawyer who has a, like, conflict of interests.
Yeah.
I think he was just trying to get them out of the way so he could then fake the will and be like, oh, it says that yeah. it's going to me or something.
I mean, they didn't True. Know that. They didn't know that no. It would automatically go to them. He just needed them out to be yeah. able to get the deed of ownership.
They don't push very hard, I must admit. The parents are pretty fucking stupid.
Yeah,
they are. Yeah, they're incredibly stupid.
Like, do you not care about the house you've raised your child in?
They're incredibly.
I mean, apart from the fact that, like, it's a bit of a weird house where stuff goes missing all the time, and there's haunted. There's tiny handprints in your ice cream.
At the minimum, haunted. There's an approach. Bare minimum, it's at least a bit haunted.
Ghosts aren't real, it's just tiny people.
I guess they're just too nice. Like, the parents are really just nice people.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of, like, gullible because he's their lawyer, and that a lawyer would know.
Yeah, a lawyer wouldn't lie to them.
Yeah, because that's against the law. Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, sorry, Mean Girls. I love the costume.
The costume is so good.
I love the size of the stitches in the borrower's clothes.
That made such really a difference, cool. Like how believable it was.
Yeah,
because all their clothes are made out of scraps and fabric.
I'm pretty sure Pod's main shirt is like actually just a label from a t-shirt. Yeah. And one of the doors in their little bit that they've built up is just like a credit card that someone's lost. Like the scale of it, it just feels it's so well done.
The scale of like the big things is fine. The scale of the little things, like the clothing, because the stitching on the clothes that they wear would be huge.
Yeah,
and the mum's even sat there like stitching clothes together.
Yeah, with like a massive needle,
of really thick yarn. And I love that that detail does so much for the film that if it wasn't there, it would look really bad.
Yeah, it makes them look little.
Yeah.
I was a bit confused about, I don't know if you guys can enlighten me, but like the shoes a lot of them are wearing are these sort of big puffy things. And I was like, were they popular Action Man shoes or something? I was like the shoes that Pea Green and Arietti are wearing.
Yeah, I'm not too sure actually.
Didn't really notice.
Yeah, I didn't really look at that.
So I was just trying to work out if that was like, that feels like that might have been like a thing that people used to recognise. It kind of looks like bubble wrap, but a big / small, depending on the size of the person.
Depending on how it's,
how you're perceiving them.
Yeah, I didn't notice. May just be looking.
Yeah, it definitely makes a huge difference. And they have so many physical effects as well, and like physical sets.
Yeah,
the money that they've ploughed into that makes such a big difference because it just. Oh, what's the one we watched that's terrible? But not as bad as it could have been.
The lot of them.
Are you thinking of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Where some of the scenes were a bit oof.
Yeah, because that was like 80s Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, wasn't it? So this is like a good 10 years or so after. So they've taken all the lessons they can from that, like, you know, the physical sets that worked well in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and just really went with it.
Yeah, rather than going to, it's the late 90s, let's do all of it in
bad CGI.
Yeah.
they really did, like, and they put so much effort into understanding scale. Because at no point, we don't have the problem of shifting size.
Worried about that, yeah.
Yeah, like, they weren't as big as they needed to be for the scene. They were pretty consistently the same size throughout the film.
Which is surprisingly big for small people that live in your walls. I feel like they are a bit more noticeable. But, however, I suppose the whole thing of the borrowers is they are quiet and unseen. So
yeah, I'm very good at climbing.
Yeah.
It says 4-inch high. What's that in centimetres?
That's less than a Smurf, I think. Because a Smurf is 3 apples.
What?
Sorry, I was just like, why the fuck would that help me? Sorry.
I think Smurfs are canonically 3 apples high.
The fuck did you just say?
Dan!
What do you mean?
It's not...
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
The hell do you mean?
Oh no, Smurfs are... Okay, right. From smurfs.fandom.com, physically a Smurf is usually no more than 3 apples tall.
You don't get to just say that is like a standard, not a standard unit of measurement.
No,
also like
it's like
just the expectation that would be in any way helpful for us working out how big the borrowers are.
I don't know. It just came to me, and I was like, this is in no way helpful.
Specific about what?
So they're actually smaller than Smurfs.
What's the height of these fantasy creatures?
They're also smaller than people.
Oh, it's this height than other fantasy creatures.
Another fantasy we have no frame of reference for. Burrows about
they're
one
about
inch
as tall,
tall
as this glass.
They're about, you've got your video turned off.
And it's a podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah. Everything has gone wrong. They're anyway, about, they're about the four size inches. Of the space
well, four
bar
inches
on your
is
keyboard.
10 centimeters, just over 10 centimeters.
It's so... about the size of your, the length of your keyboard, the space bar on your keyboard.
That is a good, yeah. That's
they
right.
they seem
that.
Bigger than that. Maybe they just, maybe they realised they had to kind of...
I don't know, they're pretty consistently that tall.
Oh, I don't know, yeah.
And like American houses do have massive holes in the wall.
And like the kids are smaller than the adults. So I guess maybe the kids are four...
Because they sit on his shoulders.
Yeah.
At some point. And yeah, that's about right. They're pretty consistently.
Yeah, because like the shots at the end where they're all standing around John Goodman's shoes and like, yeah, they don't really come up that high compared to them. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So whilst their size is actually relatively consistent, their strength seems to vary wildly.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Everything else is different.
But I just thought that was quite funny, especially the cutting right towards the end. They are trapped under a waste paper basket that's made out of wire.
Yeah, I was thinking they
and
could
that was
easily
like, why
move that.
Yeah. And then, like, but only a few, well, half an hour beforehand, we see two of the children lift a sewer grate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With ease.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was it for me. My disbelief came plummeting back to where. Yeah.
Disbelief has been suspended.
As soon as that waste paper basket goes over them and you're like, hang on. They could just... This movie about tiny people is so unrealistic.
But yeah, so evil lawyer guy is in. He knocks down the wall. There's a weird quiet bit where he's like listening to the wall, muttering to himself.
Oh yeah, because it's a safe. So he's got the stethoscope to answer the safe. That's not what that's
to try and find it in the wall. So just before that is
unlock the safe.
The family move out, and the kid finds that the borrowers.
Yeah, the
are
kid
real
discovers the borrowers
because Arietti fucks up and drops.
Yeah, she's Arietti's parents are like, you cannot be seen, you cannot be heard. Like beans will squish you and eat you and turn you into pulp, and it's just, you know, it's a whole bad idea.
Yeah, she gets caught because she's trying
she's
to
dumb.
Snoop.
She's a child.
Yeah, she knocks off an action man or something,
and she as soon as she gets caught. She immediately is like, she gives up.
Yeah.
She's well, no, like... she hides, and then she realizes she's left her torch behind, which is a birthday candle.
Yeah.
which was very cute. I didn't like how she lit that, which was with some live wires.
Yeah, that seemed a bit torchy.
I was like, not that's, I mean, that's possible. The problem is it is possible, and we should not be demonstrating that to children.
No.
Borrowers are, you know, resistant to electricity. It's fine. Yeah.
They're very good at climbing. but yeah, she resigns herself to death pretty quickly.
Yeah, she's like, just kill me already. Which, you know, I think that is a good behaviour to instill in your children.
Yeah, he puts her in like a glass bowl, which is looks like is what he collects like coins in and stuff. Like the effects of that when she's in the bowl and he's talking to her looks really good as well.
Mm.
That's really good. But yeah
there's a lot of like good double focus shots in this film where the borrowers are just as... rather than it constantly being like a cardboard box talking to a person or something like that.
I did like how when she says, do you mean, she calls him a bean.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I think you mean human being. Actually, don't worry about it. He understood. He was like, this isn't a conversation worth having.
This isn't,
immediately.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
There's more important things crashing down in my life now.
He was like, I think you mean human being. You know what?
Yeah, no, it's fine. So his name's Pete, and he's like, oh, by the way, we have to move out because someone
they're
else is taking the house. I'll help you move to the new house, too.
So he puts them in a box, and they get on the truck.
And then while they're moving, an ironing board falls on the box, and the two kids fall out of a small crack in the bottom of the truck.
Yeah. Also, the parents are not bothered by the fact that the kid is talking into a walkie-talkie. Or bother that the walkie-talkie is talking back.
The thing is, number one, perfectly fine, kids are weird. The thing that it's talking back is also a problem. That's a problem.
I mean, your kid talking into a walkie-talkie, I'd be like, fuck, my kid's lonely. We need to get him some friends.
He needs friends.
But when it talks back, I'm like, nope, kid's staying home, never letting him out of my sight.
Especially when...
walkie-talkie's haunted. Fuck.
Especially when, like, the first thing he does when you get there is runs to the back and then rides his bike back to your original house.
Yeah.
Fuck no. That kid's talking to a nonce is what's happening there. You know, need to get him back.
God.
I'd have followed him. He's not going anywhere ever again.
Seems a bit...
I guess it is, because it's set in this weird time zone, I guess it's this, thankfully, nice weird time zone where you're not, there's not that stranger danger.
Yeah.
Mm.
But yes, he goes back, takes the parents back, and we learn, whilst they're doing that, the kids in the original house are watching the lawyer.
Oh, the boy falls into a dog poo as well, which was very gross. And then nearly gets run over.
Yeah, he nearly gets straight up killed by that truck, but he manages to go in between the part of the tires, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, so John Goodman is trying to get the
The deed to the house.
He pretty much always has a cigar at the start of this film as well. Yeah. But yeah, so the kids end up stealing the will. Because they realise that actually this house should belong to the others. And so because of this, he hires Exterminator Jeff, who is Mark Williams, or one half of the people from 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah.
The other half comes in later.
This also has the same vibe as 101 Dalmatians. It's that era of like late 90s kids film.
Yeah.
Kind of blurry fantasy, and so it's soft. I want to call it soft focus fantasy. That's the feeling you get. Soft focus fantasy.
Yeah, you know it's not realistic, but it's nice.
Yeah, don't mind.
It's just kind of nice and beautiful. Everything seems to happen at about 5 PM because it's all nicely lit.
Yeah,
and really no injury is too deadly, like having your face burnt off with insecticide foam.
But even that, like, he's not that hurt.
No, because that's the first thing that Exterminator Jeff does is he like fills the walls with the insecticide foam, and it ends up on John Goodman's face and rips his moustache off.
It feels dangerous. It feels just as a thing. The first thing you do is fill the walls with this acidic.
Yeah,
my mind was racing because they had already established that there are live wires in the walls.
Yeah,
like, uncoated live wires.
Yeah.
That the little people use to start fires.
The fact that he knew about them as well. Like, he walked in and went, ooh, burrowers.
So they're sentient, but let's kill them.
Yeah, we know that they can think and behave, but fuck, they
don't
deserve
life. They're still vermin pests.
Yeah, and they still treat them like rats.
Mm. Yeah, he's then trying to smash the wall in with a hammer, and Pea Green ends up stuck on the hammer and then flings up and lands on a light bulb, which gets turned on, and as it's burning, he jumps off, and John Goodman tries to hit that with a hammer and then gets electrocuted.
Yeah.
Any young kids in the room should know that in the good old days, light bulbs got hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, real hot.
Very hot. Like, so if hot you were a tiny person clinging onto it, it would burn.
Yeah. Hot enough that, like, if it was a big enough light bulb and you had it, like, on your bedside table, you'd get hot after a while.
Hmm.
Oh, you've got a good 100 watt.
Yeah, you'd get warm.
Oh, not like these LEDs.
No.
Good for nothing LEDs.
Cold is what they are. Cold in colour and cold in feeling.
I don't know about you guys, but my house, my flat is still lit fairly like throughout with the terrible early environmentally friendly bulbs. You know, the ones that take about 3 years to get to full brightness.
Oh,
yeah, and then they're just kind of like a horrible... stark white light.
No, thankfully they're kind of more peachy.
Oh, great. Oh, great. There's nothing worse than, like, white
but
light.
But they used to, you won't remember this, but I think what happened is that the government was encouraging, or the various energy companies were encouraging everyone to switch over from 60 watts to whatever, like, is it 14 watts or something, bulbs?
Hmm.
They gave them out for free, and my granddad... like, just had a bag of them. Like an actual sports bag.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Full of them. And when Jim and I moved into our first place, I moved out of my nan's, and she was like, I'll take some with you, and we've still got some. Like they're made to last.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just went to check and looked directly into a light. So
nice. Yeah, I've been doing that for some time.
Yeah, probably shouldn't have done that.
Did I ever tell you the story of when I got some secondhand lamps from someone on like Facebook Marketplace?
No.
And this is you die?
No, this is the stingiest.
Is it like when
person.
I bought a Xbox 360 and the guy had entire face tattoo?
No. No, okay. This was like, okay, so I went to the place, really nice place, really nice lamps, and she did the whole like, oh, she turned them on to show you they were working and all that stuff. And then she took the bulbs out. And then gave me the lamp. And I was like, how to be, like, weirdly stingy.
Yeah.
It's sad. It was like, okay, so she put the bulbs in to show us that they worked. It was just really
That's
weird.
That's kind of annoying because I don't keep, what are they, E27s? I don't keep them on hand.
It was just like, why did she do, what is it? And then, yeah, it was a really nice place. It wasn't,
so they could have clearly afforded the light bulbs.
Yeah, it was just such a like, and it was awkward as well.
Yeah,
because you kind of like, yeah, I didn't expect
that's
you to
real
do
tight.
Yeah,
like these days, sure, when loads of people have like Philips Hue light bulbs, or like, yeah,
no,
to be fair,
they were
like my light bulbs, the ones that we've had to buy have been like at least a fiver each.
Yeah, no, they were like the simple like, yeah, LED lights. It was just weird, to the thought that she got them out, cleaned them off, put the bulb in, showed us, spent like 30 seconds unscrewing the bulb in front.
It's like, you're not allowed this bit. Sorry.
Yeah. It was just
that costs extra.
It felt really weird. It felt really strange.
Like, that would, okay, be like when people used to buy and sell appliances without the plugs.
Yeah.
And everyone used to have to, you have to fit your own plugs.
Yep.
My work still does that, but for things that go in ponds, so it kind of makes sense, because you normally, yeah, you know, wire it into a box or something.
I think a lot of, like, high-end, like, a lot of, like, specialist equipment does that.
Yeah.
It has to be, like, very much a special thing for a special reason, because otherwise, yeah, appliances have to, by law, come with plugs in the UK.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
guess we got fed up with people stuff badly doing their own plugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the same way.
I was taught how to do it once at GCSE.
Yeah. Especially if, like, because they have to be, if they're in a place of business, they have to be, like, checked now, don't they?
Yeah, they get pat tested.
That's it.
I love pat testing. Like, it happens at work, obviously, once a year, and it's just some bloke comes in, looks at the plug, goes, yeah, that's a plug, and puts a sticker on it.
He does, yep, a test.
That sounds about
there,
right.
I have a mobile phone charger that is apparently pat tested.
Yeah.
For some reason, we had like a brand new extension lead, and he was like, "That one failed." I'm like, "Why?" Just did.
Tell me. Okay. Tell me.
Yeah.
Why is pat?
Don't question
it?
Me, boy.
Yeah. I well, have to. Asked... I've tested so many. Legally, two of them have to fail.
he messages Pat.
Yeah.
What do you think, Pat? Fail.
Pat is a yes or no.
Oh, I thought it was to see if it's working. He just gives it a little pat, like do do do. Oh yeah, it's all right.
That was good.
The lights didn't flicker when I patted the plug, so it must
so
be
it's
fine.
The bat test.
Anyway,
none of us are engineers.
Yeah,
the barrels.
So. The kids end up ziplining along some power lines to get,
oh, yeah,
away.
Are they power lines or telephone wires?
Maybe telephone wires, yeah.
I think they're telephone wires because
they might
they
be power
don't
lines.
Die.
Well, no, we've already established that they're immune to electricity.
They're shock resistant.
Well, they're definitely more immune than Potter is.
Yeah.
I love that he's called Potter and Draco Malfoy is in this film.
Yeah.
That Potter, yeah, Potter, he, when he, the boy manages to escape with the help of his sister and a,
Helena has dematerialized.
She's just been electrocuted.
Yeah. Oh, I'm here! I've been talking the whole time. Hello?
She's been taken.
Can you hear
the
me?
The borrower's got her.
Oh, I'm still here! Can you hear me? Hello?
The best part of this is, like, Helena's recording will still have her talking.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it'll just sound like nonsense.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
She did. She Hello? Did dematerialise.
Yeah, normally she's back by now.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
But yeah, he does get proper zapped by the... He gets fully tased with that hammer in the light bulb.
Was it? After losing his mustache to the
Well,
the death
I'm going to keep recording.
And not his eyebrows, anyway, welcome to Helen's disappointed they didn't take his eyebrows. And he didn't have covered eyebrows for the rest of the film. That would have been great. That would have been amazing. I'd have loved that. He just, like, had no eyebrows for the rest of the film.
Oh, Discord just crashed. Okay, that might explain
but
it.
But how are you going to get the emotion out?
He's angry. He has no other emotion.
Yeah, no. Yeah, John Goodman in this is just angry.
He's just angry.
But yeah, so to track them down, I mean, I should probably wait for Helena.
Yeah, we should probably. She's probably gone through half the film by this point.
Yeah.
Update failed.
She'll come back in and be like.
That's promising.
And then he gets rescued from the milk bottle.
So, out of 10.
So, yeah.
Internet working?
Do you reckon she knows that? Do you reckon she can hear us?
I don't know. Maybe. Oh no, she's just gone.
She might have actually.
Hopefully her... I mean, I've got the backup recording at least, so...
Hello?
Hello.
You're back.
I am. I'm so sorry about that. Discord crashed.
Oh, okay.
It just took a really long time.
Was your whole laptop or...?
Did your recording crash?
No. Okay, recording's fine.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. I've been chatting the whole time, so, you know, keeping everyone company, and mostly myself.
Could you still hear us, or?
Nope.
Okay.
So, well, for a bit, yeah. I'm answering you guys and nothing's happening. And then there's some pleading, and then I tried to leave and come back, and then Discord crashed. And then Discord tried to update, failed to update, and then opened anyway.
Well... You're back, so it's fine.
All's well that ends well.
We thought you got by the borrowers.
Yeah.
Or electrocuted.
Honestly, with the way this laptop's being recently, it's distinctly possible. Did I tell you that I bought because this laptop's pretty ancient now. Finally had to buy a new cable for it because the old one just gave up the ghost, and I just got a cheap, shitty one online. And for ages, it doesn't seem to happen anymore, which I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. I used to have to be really careful when winding it up because I would give myself a shock if I touched both metal pins.
Oh my god.
Oh no. That does not sound safe.
So I'd like to have to earth it on my little metal mirror or the radiator before I like, put it away.
Yeah, at least we've confirmed that Helena isn't a borrower because she's not immune to electricity.
I am not immune to electricity. No, I've had some nasty shocks working at the... I'm sure you had too, Dan, working at the arcade.
Surprisingly, no, because I was never actually in the pinball machines. I was just doing the here's a token.
In the considerable downtime, sometimes I would fiddle, and mostly to like get coins stuck out because people would shove 2p's down them.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about that kid who didn't know how to pull out plugs from a wall?
No.
We had a volunteer once, and. He was like six, far too old. He was too old to do this. He didn't know how to pull plugs out of a wall. So
he was six.
He was 16.
16, okay. Yeah, that's worse. Six, I'm like, okay, maybe they're just very shy and cautious and their parents have told them off for like unplugging the fridge or something. Yeah.
No, he'd pull it out a little bit and then get his fingers underneath the plug.
Ooh, interesting.
Whilst it was still kind of plugged in.
Mm. Oh no.
The sweet spot.
Yeah, the danger zone. And when we saw him doing that, we were like, what the fuck are you doing? Because I'd never really pulled a plug
out
before.
And then you're like, no, like the easiest way is to just get a fork in there and wedge it open.
You just pry it out, you know?
Specifically Mel. But yeah, he was just like, I've never really taken a plug out before.
What the fuck is wrong with this person?
What do you mean?
Was some sort of large plastic area you could hold on to.
Well, I still don't fully understand what he means when he says that. Because how?
How?
Is he British? Is he from a country that has different plugs?
Nope, he's British. I don't know
his
how
house
he goes
is wireless.
That much
how
of
the other
life.
Half live?
I don't think he goes through that through life without knowing how to take a plug out of wall.
No.
Lovely guy. Really nice guy. Confusing life.
Anyway.
Yep.
Jeff the Exterminator has a dog called Mr. Smelly.
Yeah.
He feeds him on cheese.
Exclusively cheese.
Gives the dog maybe the worst diet you can give a dog, bar chocolate.
The dog does not look healthy.
No.
Was it a kind of basset houndy type thing?
Yeah,
it was a bloodhound, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, bloodhound, yeah, that's the one.
And as they're about to use the dog to track down the borrowers, Hugh Laurie appears as a police officer and he's like, oh, there's been a bit of a commotion. But in his late 90s Hugh Laurie accent of British.
Yeah, before he was American.
Yeah, so it's not Greg House in this one. It is a weird. This was the one that really sets the where British and American appearances don't gel.
Mm. Yeah,
because he's trying to look like a mixture.
Yeah,
He's not like, obviously it's very easy to make someone look like a policeman in the UK because we have stupid hats.
Hey, well, a lot of public jobs have stupid hats. How you tell them apart.
but he's wearing like a just a uniform, a black uniform with an American on it. Like it's not like uniform. Difficult to tell what he is, but it's clear that they're like, well, we don't want him to look like a British policeman.
Mm. Yeah. It's kind of jarring.
A bit like a private cop.
It's kind of like jarring security to guard. Look at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause you're like, that looks close enough to a police officer for me to recognise police officer. But he's neither American nor English.
No. So they end up going. At this point, Pete makes it back to the family house with Pod and Homily. The wife's name.
That's a type of pie, isn't it?
Maybe.
Or is that hominy? I think hominy pie is a type of pie. I think that might be a potato pie.
But yeah, they see on their little crudely drawn map that the kids are trying to get to the new house. Meanwhile, the kids get startled by a pigeon.
Well, they're sneaking through the roof.
Yeah, they're cutting across the roofs.
Get stole by a pigeon, fall down the drain.
Yeah, and then Peregrine gets stuck in a milk bottle.
Yep.
And then Arietti ends up left alone. The policeman's like distracting the others by accident, and he buys him
because he's got a burnt face. He's like,
he buys him some cream.
Face burning cream.
Yeah. Which and sounds like cream that burns your face, but it's not.
it's the opposite.
But yeah, so Pea Green ends up stuck in this milk bottle, picked up by a milkman and taken off, and then Arietti's all alone until suddenly another borrower appears called Spiller. And he's like, come with me, I've made a rocket like roller skate car under the underground.
Well, I wanna just get over the horror that they're called an outie.
Yeah, because they're outside. So the
borrowers that are outside are called outies. Mm.
Yeah, innies and outies. Borrowers. Not to be confused with navels.
It's just weird. And I'm not happy about that for the rest of the film. Especially when they're like, Dad, you used to be an outie?
Yeah.
Sounds like his navel just, his tummy button just receded over
time. Don't do that.
But also, no offence if you're an outie, but...
It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. You should keep that stuff to yourself.
It's uncomfortable. Push it back in. Get that back in there. Is what you should be doing.
Just cut that little extra off. It's fine.
So if someone does have an outie, by the way, we're probably making the film so uncomfortable.
I haven't heard before. The freaks.
No, I don't know. I think someone telling them get that back in there. You put that back. I don't know how many of them have heard that.
Patreon money on belly button surgery.
No.
It's statistically likely that at least one of our listeners has an outie.
Yeah. I'm creating a new product called a belly button pusher. And it's from outie to innie is the slogan.
Omphalophobia. I think we all have omphalophobia.
This is bad to
look at. I'm scared of it.
No, they're all bodies are beautiful.
Except
omphalophobia is it's just the phobia of belly buttons in general.
Ah. Oh. Yeah. Including outies. Outies are like outies are like a jump scare.
You're expecting a hole, but instead.
Sorry to anyone with an outie. We're not outie phobic.
Yeah, let's move on to the real victims of this film, the gingers.
Yes. So we're going to talk about that all borrowers have red hair.
Yeah.
wild, untamed red hair.
Yeah. They're also
it's because they didn't make combs small enough.
So, that, yeah, no, that is true. It would be hard
That's
to...
a good point, actually. My deepest sympathies to the Borrowers now.
We've got knotted red hair.
And if they, you know, try and use hairspray, they'll suffocate and die.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
or start a fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're clearly not good with fire safety, no. As we know. The name Borrowers, right? Because I always thought it was Burrowers when I was a kid. Like, as in something that burrows. Because, yeah, like, they live in the walls and they do horrible... They live in nightmare walls.
Yeah.
But they're called Borrowers because they borrow things.
They borrow things because to them they're going to give it back, but they don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, do they fuck? No, they don't give them back ever.
But
no.
Even
there
like
is not one instance of us seeing them, apart from when they return a dead battery.
Yeah.
And those were disposable batteries. That's
they don't
not
know that.
Borrowing.
They don't know that.
Well, of course they do.
But the outies are still called Borrowers. That's what bothers me.
Well, they just like borrow from the general public, I guess.
A different subspecies. Are they a different subspecies? Of like, are they evolutionarily
different? I guess
it's more
different? Like urban and countryside.
Yeah, like pigeons.
Yeah.
Or pigeons and doves.
Yeah.
Or fancy rats and city rats.
Yeah. Closer to cats, actually. You have indoor cats and outdoor cats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And outdoor cats ruin the local environment, much like outies do.
Yeah.
They destroy the local
all those
ecosystem.
Kids that only have one roller skate.
Yeah. They just demolish the local
That's why
ecosystem.
Traffic lights and that rarely work. They've just been nicking bits of wiring.
For the rife of Borrowers.
Borrowers just fucking nicking the copper wiring out of things.
Yeah. Am I going to give it back?
But it goes so nicely with their skin tone.
Yeah.
Only like two or three of them die from electrocution getting it, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because most of them are immune.
Yeah.
Most. Only the innies are immune.
Yeah,
because they've grown up around it, so yeah.
Yeah. They've grown a resistance to electricity.
That's a thing that can happen.
Is it?
Start now, kids.
Yeah, I want to start. I want to get that superpower. Fucking be Storm from...
Once at the ripe old age of 16, once you've learned how to take out a plug,
yeah.
Now's the time to start training.
Now's the time.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never get got again.
No.
You'll show them.
Who is them in this situation? Big electricity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lightning.
The sky. Zeus. No, if you do that, you can finally fight off Zeus.
Yeah. It's a very different Percy Jackson. he's not the son of. He just was training by shoving a fork resistance. In a plug.
Just slowly, he's got one of those like you know those like wall that changes like the you can control like the amp of the power. He's got one of them, and he's just slowly turning it up.
He's got to. He's getting ready to fight Zeus and Poseidon, holding a toaster over the bathtub.
Oh man.
Anyway.
So then we get onto some real destruction, which is at the bottling plant.
Yeah. Bottling plant. Pea Green's stuck in one a bottle and they're all getting automatically filled up with milk.
I thought this was quite a cool little it felt a bit like Come Outside where it's like, and now we're gonna go to and show you how a bottling plant works.
Yep.
Yeah. First you get the tiny boy stuck in the bottle.
It's a bottling plant.
Yeah, Pippin's
also does
knocked
cheese.
Over a glass bottle, so now they've got to go to the milk factory.
Yeah.
Also does plant. Cheese.
Yeah, and it does cheese in some quite upsetting ways.
Yeah. You know, the cheese pipe.
It's the American cheese.
Well,
that's how they make the sheets whiz. Of it.
It's cheese whiz. Yeah. But yeah, so he's stuck in a milk bottle. It looks like, and they're like, they're getting filled with milk. And it looks like it's boiling milk. It's like steam.
It's just freshly pasteurized milk.
It's just normal milk. I thought it was going to burn to death in there.
Well, I'm like, how did they sterilize the bottles? Surely I always thought it was heat. So in my mind, he was dead before he even got to the milk stage.
Yeah.
I mean, it is pretty mad how like he's about to be rescued and you think he'll be fine. And then John Goodman like knocks him out of the way and he ends up with like... Yeah, the bottle fills with milk and a lid gets put on it. And he's like, oh shit, he's gonna drown.
I did say at the time, oh no, he's gonna get milked. And Jim was like, that's disgusting, Helena.
Stop that.
Don't put a tiny person in a glass bottle and fill it with...
That's a little Draco Malfoy there. Yeah. Leave him alone.
poor guy. But yeah, he gets properly like drowned to the point of like being almost unconscious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the parents rescue him with another excellent zip line. Yeah. Scene.
I love films. Like, one of my favorite things in films is when you have like adventurous kids that are like get themselves in trouble, but then you have like parents that are just as fucking good at it.
Yeah. Well, I love that.
Where you're like, ooh, the parents. I love when the parents come in to save the day, and it turns out the parents were like knew how to do all of this and were good at it. And you're like, oh, that's so nice to be like, oh yeah, they are the same as their parents.
Yeah. Yeah. So they rescue Pea Green, but then they end up getting grabbed.
Can we go back to Mr. Pot when they're trying to lasso Pea Green out of the milk? And Mr. Potter starts smashing the bottles.
That's a lot of destruction of property.
Why is he smashing? He could have just waited.
And where's the attendant? Like, yeah. I know it's like automate. It's an automated process.
Oh, there's got to be people there. Has to be people there.
Yeah.
To be fair, if I was in charge and I was the only person there and I saw this happening, I wouldn't.
I'm on break. Yeah.
Yes. And you know how useless the one policeman.
Yeah. I just take my break at that point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the way he's smashing all of the bottles like that. And then when they start like almost saving him, he starts smashing them faster.
Yeah.
It's like just walk up to where they are and smash their bottle.
But it's automated. It's coming to you. It doesn't matter how fast you smash them.
Yeah. It's a bit strange. It was a good, an excellent scene, but it was like, why is he doing
this? Strange.
But I guess what we can assume is that he's not been quite right since he electrocuted himself.
No, that's true.
When he did put a hammer through a light bulb.
Yeah. But they get away by lassoing a lever that they swing on. And that lever is
the cheese lever.
It's the cheese blaster. Because what that lever does in this milk bottling factory is it builds up.
Just fill a vat with liquid cheese.
It pressurizes the cheese in a vat and then blasts it full speed onto a metal tray.
Yeah.
It's so they can, you know, when he captures them and Cellar tapes them onto the metal tray, it's so he can have a, oh, he's gonna get them, but then, Spiller ends up, like, just annoying
make
him.
Cheese. Why would you make that a single lever? Why would you do?
I love getting after that as well, where he put when he finally gathers, like they're all in the same place, gathers them all up and he sticks them down. He like knows how to use the cheese, like
it's the cheese pressurizer. Well,
and, because he puts the gobby kid in a
In something.
It looked like a meat grinder, but I'm like, nope, it's a milk and cheese factory.
I don't know what this factory does.
To be fair, might be a cheese. They might do sausages as well. But Scotch eggs, who knows?
Why
he does
this
manage
factory?
To escape.
The cheese thing, though, it looks like every now and then they need to like blast out the cheese.
Yeah.
The cheese pressure gets too high.
The cheese pressure too much. They need to blast out the cheese
but
every
It's
now
honestly
and then.
Not the most upsetting cheese scene.
No.
Because we also then have the dog comes back.
Mm-hmm. And it ate a whole bowl of cheese.
He eat the whole bowl? Or does he eat some of it and then there's just dog-imbued cheese that's going to hit the market?
I think he eats all of it. I think they come back and the whole bowl is gone.
The whole bowl's gone and the dog's just lying there farting. And the only reason they get saved from the cheese nozzle is because the kid Pete manages to get in and swings the nozzle away.
Yeah, and then he rolls out, and the cheese is far more watery than it ever has been at that point.
Yeah.
I don't like the cheese. The cheese is the most upsetting part of this film.
I feel like we had the two cheeses. The British cheese, which is like, okay, here are the curds settling in the bowls. Like, that's
the dog
eats.
They're
in lots of bowls with nice gingham cloths over them. Yeah. And then there's the American cheese, which is factory made big metal.
Yeah, the high pressure cheese blaster.
High pressure yellow, yeah.
And it's that American cheese yellow.
It's just awful.
Yeah.
But yeah, they get saved by the kid.
Then Potter's like running over Pete's bike and he's driving. He's managed to get the wheel and he's driving to
Can you imagine
like City Hall building? Yeah, City Hall.
Can you imagine being that driver in what looks like a Rolls Royce and the guy's just like, drive over that. drive over the bike, he'd be like, no, sir, this is a Rolls Royce. So I don't think you understand how it will do more damage to the car than it will the bike.
He backs into it, doesn't he?
No, he drives forward over it.
But yeah, the
bike will fuck up most of the car.
Yeah. But that means that it's time for Exterminator Jeff to have a change of heart. And he's like,
he realized that killing people is wrong.
Well, he realizes that the sentient borrowers are in fact also people.
Yeah. So he gives them a lift to like try and chase down Potter, who's going to, and the borrowers rocket shoe their way underground.
Yeah. Favorite scene in the movie.
Mm.
The rocket shoe.
The woman behind the counter.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, when she's telling Potter how to get to because he's not polite, so she like tells him this really roundabout way to get there. And then when he gets there, he's like, oh, please, can you tell me? And she's like, oh, yeah, take the elevator, fourth floor, it'll be straight in front of you.
She gives him, like, she gives him, like, three chances to be polite.
Yeah.
She is like, if you say please, and he's like, no, he's just rude. And she's like, all right, then, up the stairs to the left, up three flights of stairs, go to the end of the corner, turn a corner, you'll probably need a break. Like, yes.
Oh, it's when he's like, is there a faster way? And she goes, walk quickly.
Yes, that was a very good line.
Oh, love her. Love her so much. She's the best character in this entire film.
But yeah, it looks like Potter has gotten there first, and he goes in, and as he does, he realizes it's like a storage cupboard, and the others have managed to get there quicker and swapped the sign over, and they lock him in a storage cupboard.
And then we enter a horror movie.
They tie him up with they tie his shoelaces together and that, and
so
they start
what this shows is that they do have access to insulating electrical tape.
Oh my God.
And they choose not
to
use it.
They're deciding not to use it. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But this is where he grabs them and traps them in that like paper bin.
He's
going to vacuum them up.
When they're on his shoulders and they get the deed and they're like, haha, look what I've got. What was their plan to get down? Because they're just kind of on his shoulders now.
Jump on a shelf, I guess.
I guess climb down carefully.
But they just
use the
will
as
gloating.
A paraglider.
They just stood there gloating. Yeah, they're going to grab him and throw. But yeah, then they put the light paper waste basket on top of him.
Yeah, and he's going vacuum them. And then the vacuum cleaner mysteriously turns off, and then a fuckload of borrowers come out, and they like rappel down from the ceiling fan with string, tie him up, and then turn the fan on so it just ties him up.
Yeah,
this is where we find out that the borrowers from the start of the movie are in fact isolationists.
Yeah,
and have deprived their kids of like company their entire lives.
Yeah, they've not been allowed to see other borrowers, but Spiller had made it out, and then all of like Pod's old friends are there as well.
Yeah.
And
it's
they're like,
kind
oh,
of
yeah.
implied that they're like family.
Yeah, yeah, I think they're his brothers or something.
Yeah, because they're terrified of her.
Yeah,
which is great.
But yeah, like John Goodman is like just proper tied up, and he looks scared, which I'm not surprised because like
I'd be fucking terrified as well.
They'd swarm you like ants.
Yeah, I'd be fucking
could
terrified.
Eat you in seconds.
Oh, if they wanted to.
Yeah. But Pod gives like a really good speech about how
borrowers are kind and nice.
Yeah,
and
we're
quiet.
People too, and you're kind of a maniac for thinking you can kill us.
Yeah, we're typically nice and quiet until you annoy us, and then we'll eat your eyeballs. Ignore that last part. We're good at climbing.
But yeah, then Pete, Jeff, and the police officer come in and they arrest Potter.
And the borrowers all hide.
Like, you might be the first man that we kill, but you will not be the last. And then they look in the camera.
But you are not, or even like even worse, like you are not the first man to be killed by
you're
a borrower's hand. And you shall not be the last.
We can make it slow, or we can make it quick. We either start from the feet down, or one of us climbs in your ear. Which do you choose? But yeah, they get the will back. The family are allowed to move back into the house. Which is now
massively
been,
inconvenient for the parents.
Yeah.
Well, it's not been massively smashed to shit. It's like two bits of the house.
Yeah, a couple of walls.
Like the entryway, and they've smashed up the wall. Yeah. Which, to be fair, was kind of useful because, hey, now they've got a safe they didn't know about.
Yeah,
exactly.
True.
They can keep the borrowers in there.
And, like, the borrowers need some. It's also very strange that the borrowers going back to living their old life.
Yeah. But they do start seeing their family and everything again, and the kid knows they exist, so...
But, like, give them a room in their house. They don't need that. They just need, like, a small cupboard, and they'll be fine.
Well, the parents don't know that they exist, though, still.
Why wouldn't you tell the parents?
Because they'd still think you were mad. Because even when Potter is being interrogated by the police, all the borrowers had disappeared when they'd walked in.
Yeah,
so he just sounds insane.
You can tell the parents.
Yeah, it's one of those things. They it could have gone either way, and both. I think both is a fine ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think a sweeter ending would have been like, and the boy gets like a when he moves in, he moves in like a he, like it's like oh it's ready guys, and he's like made them a doll's like a doll's house or made them, like,
so
the back of his like a false back to his wardrobe, so they've got like their own mansion.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they go back.
Whereas
to living
now they're
the floor.
Back, yeah, living off scraps.
Yeah,
but he does. Yeah. He does like give them peas.
Yeah,
three whole peas. But I guess that is quite a lot.
It's a lot for a borrower, especially one who's named after a pea.
Yeah, like, yeah. Thanks for the peas. Yeah. Get it? Yes, I got it last time.
Uh-huh. You tell
my father's going to hear about this.
He'll think it's hilarious.
So did you guys enjoy this film?
Yeah,
I loved
did.
It. It was
I had a really good time.
Whimsical.
Jim was teasing me for how much I was giggling through this film.
It hits a lot of
that, like, I don't think it's not super nostalgic for me in terms of I am sure and surer by the minute I haven't seen this before. I'm way more familiar with the borrowers as a concept than I thought I was. So maybe we read the books and watched the TV show. Maybe we watched the 70s one. I don't know, but I'm not going to watch that. It's free on YouTube, and that is low enough
of a bad
bar for
sign.
Me.
That's a bad
it's never
sign.
A good sign.
No.
But yeah, it's good. And like the cast is nostalgic at this point.
Yeah, like the cast
like,
is great.
There's so many big names in it from British and American stuff. So yeah, like
I like that they were big at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They thought this film was going to be massive.
Well, I don't think. I think at this point, you didn't need a film to be massive to get this level of actor in it.
Mm.
They were just happy to do a fun film.
Yeah, it was like it's a kids' film. It was going to be pretty successful, I guess.
Yeah,
and it does. Fun. It really hits that like feeling of late 90s kids film, like just that even if it's not this film specifically, just that general vibe of nostalgia for it is like really good.
The VFX are incredible.
It does it
looks
to
the point you don't really notice them.
It's because it's
they're
mixed
not
so well
bad.
With the set design and the costume design and all that kind of thing
and
like
the physical effects
so that makes when there is like limited CGI and stuff that just sells it that bit more because of how good it looks, like the mixing of it.
Yeah. It's not jarring like Mousetrap, which I think is a pretty fair comparison film for this one.
Yeah,
because when was Mousetrap the same time?
Mouse Hunt.
Mouse Hunt even.
yeah
it was later.
Mousetrap the later. Agatha Christie
1997. they're both 1997.
Yeah, it's the same vibe.
Yeah, this is just British Mouse Hunt.
Soft, focused.
Well, British-ish.
Fantasy.
Yeah.
Soft, focused. British.
Yeah.
but, like, Jim Broadbent in it is great, even though he is the same character as he's in everything.
Yeah.
and Mark Williams and Hugh Laurie just are a good. They're such a good double act, even though they're not a double act. They're not baddies, yeah.
They're not double acting in this,
but the scenes with them in together, they might as well be.
Yeah, they work well off each other. It seems to me like they got one of them, and because this is the year after 101 Dalmatians, they must have been like, oh, do you want to come and do a part in this film? Well, yeah, right.
Do you know someone who could be good for this role? Yeah,
that's kind of how actors work, though, especially at this point. Like, if they can get one of a group of actors in, they can probably get the rest of them.
Yeah.
Because you just get that actor to ask. And you can tell with this kind of films because they do all look like they're having fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, like this must have been a fun film. The I guess it looks like it was building foam or whatever that they spray in. That's instead of the insecticide.
Mm. Yeah.
Or the pesticide that they spray in the cavity wall that makes just fuses to Potter. Goodman is so funny, and like the way it gets like firm, like loft insulation, like foam.
Yeah.
Insulation Foam does, and peels it off his face. And someone, you know, they've stuck the mustache inside it and everything.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
And it's got that 90s, like, and that early 2000s of kids' TV, so slime going on with that foam and then the liquid cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got everything you want in a kids' film from this era.
Yeah.
I think I'd give it, I think it's like an 8 cheese levers out of 10. That's not people leaving cheese. That's levers that dispense cheese.
Yeah. 8 at high pressure. Cheese guns.
Or 8 wills that walk along a mantelpiece by themselves.
Yeah. I think 8 as well. 8 things borrowed but not returned. 8 stealers. 8 outies, actually.
8 outies. Oh.
8 outies.
Apologies to the 8 outies listening to the podcast.
Hey, we're an outie appreciation.
We know who you are.
Podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to give this 8 mini Brahms out of 10.
Oh, Brahms would... The burrowers would... Borrowers would fuck up Brahms.
Yeah, the borrowers versus Brahms. That's
you think you're the horror? You think you're the serial killer in the walls?
Yeah.
No.
It would be so funny. Like, the borrowers are like, yeah, we're borrowers. We live in the wall. There's also a guy.
It's just a full on guy. It turns out the guy wasn't moving the doll around. It was the borrowers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just thought it was kind of funny and a good way of getting soup.
Yeah.
This is a big guy with a mask in there. He doesn't talk. We call him Masky. He's intense. Masky is intense as a guy.
No, he's in walls.
He does live in the walls.
It looks like he's got some of that insecticide foam on his face. That's why he wears the mask. The mask is insecticide foam.
We don't talk to him that much.
Yeah.
He eats a lot of soup.
He borrowed that girl's hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He eats a lot of soup.
He seems to only know the word Greta.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, I think before we go on a Brahms tangent,
I was having such a good time, and then you guys made me think about the boy again.
What a horrifying way to learn that there's someone living in your walls is to find out that you have borrowers, and the borrowers tell you.
Yeah, if the borrowers are like, yeah, this isn't the weird part, we've got something to tell you.
Look, we've come out for it. Normally we're not seen and not heard, but fuck, we need to talk
to you. We need to tell you.
This is important.
Oh, horrifying.
Well, with that, I've been Dan.
I've been Michael.
And I've been Helena.
You can find this podcast on social media at Hilton Pod. That's at HILTM Pod. We're also really tiny and in your walls.
Yep.
We have a Discord if you want to come and chat to us. Let us know which version of the borrowers you've seen, and if you'd rather have the borrowers or Brahms live in your walls.
Or the boy.
Yeah. And we have a Patreon where you can support the show. Helps keep us going. Means we can keep on watching nice old films like this.
Yeah.
What special thing are we going to be doing for the Patreon?
We
this
are
week?
Going to fund a The Borrowers and the Boy crossover. That's what we're going to do. It's going to be called The Boy 3 Living in the Walls.
The Boy 3 Brahms versus The Borrowers.
But The Boy 3, he's not the only one in the walls anymore. And it's about the Lender family moving into a new house in the middle of theoretically English countryside.
But they have a tiny, tiny small China doll.
Well, they get there and there's a small doll there, and the borrowers are like, the fuck is going on?
Oh, I mean, how scary would it be? So the Lender family move in, weird things are happening in the house, and they're like, oh, it must be borrowers.
Borrowers.
We've had experience with borrowers before. Let's have a look in the walls. Oh, no!
Oh, no.
It's Brahms.
It's just a guy in there. They call the other borrowers. The borrowers go in all whimsical and come out terrified.
Or they call Pest, Jeff Pest or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just absolutely bombards Brahms with pesticide foam.
Oh, you're thinking the other way. You're thinking it's the boy but with the tone of Burroughs.
Yeah.
It's just Jeff, the exterminator, Jeff the Pest, just pouring pesticides on Brahms, just filling the walls up with foam. He's just like, well, this is taking longer and it's going to need more foam than I expected.
I feel like we finally got a premise for a new episode of AI Loved That Movie.
Can you hear distant screaming?
But really tiny.
Please remember to rate and share this podcast.
Yep.
Yeah, give us a 5-star review. We don't deserve it, but still.
We do not deserve it.
Please give us, especially on Apple Podcasts, if you use Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star review.
Yeah. And then stop using Apple Podcasts.
Someone gave us a 2-star review. And there's not enough for it to have been drowned out.
No,
and it's
correct.
Making me cross.
They're correct. I'm going to lean in. They are correct.
Look, I don't want accurate reviews. I just want 5 stars.